You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Let's go now to our story. Our story today is about Hannah and Samuel. And we'll focus on Hannah. Now, sino si Hannah? Okay, si Hannah, okay, nanay ni, anak niya si Samuel, no? Nanay ni Samuel to. Si Samuel yung prophet na inanoint niya si King Saul, tapos later ginaid niya si King David. Yan si Samuel. Samuel is a famous prophet in the scripture. And today, we'll look at the mother, right? Since last week, Father's Day, hindi na natin titingnan si Elkanah, tingnan na natin ngayon si Hannah. Right? And what Hannah did to prepare Samuel for God's call in his life. Okay? I think that's one of the most crucial roles we have as parents. Sino mga parents dito? Right? Parents. Right? Sino dito magulang? Okay? Okay. Iba yun, no? Okay, so, if you're a parent, okay, you have a kid, a baby, 1 year old, 8 months, or you have an 8 year old, or a 10 year old, or 20 year old, your goal is to actually prepare the next generation in your family to be successful in life. Tama ba? And to be successful in life, I don't mean just monetary or financially, but that they would have character and that they would have the fear of God in them. And now we'll look at Hannah. Okay? How Hannah did this. And the context was for Hannah was actually very, very hard. Why? Because at the time of the story of Samuel, ito yung environment. There was low spirituality. Okay? In Israel, it was on an all-time low. Idolatry was practiced. It was during at this time na sobrang silent ni Lord. Walang prophecy. Walang prophet na umaangat tas nagpa-prophesy. Eh, usong-uso sa Old Testament noon. May prophet, I have the word from the Lord and this is the word of the Lord. For a time, it was quiet. And here's the reason why. Because the nation of Israel chose to rebel against God and chose to move in idolatry. See, Lord, ganun yan eh. Kung ayaw mo sa kanya, okay. Alam ko ayaw mo sa akin, hindi ako masyado magpapakita. Okay? Magpaparamdam ako, pero hindi yung fullness. That's why you would see, sino sa inyo dito may times na very dry kayo spiritually? Pray kayo, Lord, gusto ka na marinig, pero you were living in sin, or maybe, you know, you're going through something, and di kayo close ni Lord, tapos feeling mo, layo-layo ni Lord. It's because you've not allowed Him to go into areas of your life. And you're stopping the move of God in your life. You made a conscious decision with the free will that's given to us not to actually give our lives fully to God. And so what happens? Sabi ni Lord, okay, yan ang gusto mo. Sige, hanap ako ng iba na gustong gusto yung presence ko. No? And that's sometimes how we feel. Kahit ang ganda ng worship song, okay ang church, ganda ng service, ang galing ng sermon na naman ng singkit na pastor. No? Hindi mo matanggap. Bakit? Parang dry, hindi ako makarinig kay Lord. Parang pag nagsasalita siya, ang naririnig ko lang, blah, 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 blah. Parang walang pumapasok. Why? There's dryness. And the Word of God cannot penetrate the heart. Even though it's sharp, according to Scripture. Because you don't allow it to. And this was what's happening at the time. In some way, hindi nagsasalita si Lord. Walang prophecy. There were no open heavens. They couldn't experience the presence of God. There was also a lack of restraint. Ibig sabihin yan, people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. For them, truth was relative. Oh, mali yan. Para sa akin, tama. So, tama yan. So, ganun sila mabuhay. At that time, walang kings. Si Samuel yung last judge. Tapos si Samuel ang nag-anoint kay Saul maging king kasi yung Israelites naghahanap ng hari. And so Samuel said, sabi ni Lord, wag daw hari, isa raw ang hari. Sabi ng mga tao, hindi, we also want a king like the other nations. Sabi ni Samuel, sige, sabi nyo ha. Sige, alam nyo ba yung hari, anong gagawin sa inyo? Ito gagawin sa inyo, tataas yung taxes. Di ba? Mangungurakot yan, ganyan. Lahat sinabi niya. Okay? Sabi ng Israelites, hindi, gusto pa rin namin ng hari. Kaya nawala yung mga judges. Si Samuel yung last na judge. No? And there was a lack of restraint because people were doing what was seen right in their own eyes. Walang morality. Thirdly, there was a lack of leadership. There was corrupt priesthood. Mismo sa simbahan, sobrang corrupt. No? Pati mga judges, corrupt. Pati mga priests and pastors, they were corrupt at that time. Medyo may kasalanan sa loob ng simbahan. So ang hirap. Kaya nakita mo, walang move si Lord. Sobrang dry. And you know, at seasons like this, you'll start to see God throughout history when there's a low moral morality, there's low spirituality, and there's moral decay, what does God do? Never fails. God would always raise up either a person or a group of people who would raise up a standard and would say, enough is enough, and they would pray through that God would come, and then God would come and show up. And at this time, God chose a candidate, a woman, not a man, a woman, right? Woman power, right? He chose Hannah. Okay? Hannah was this barren woman. Of all the people, God chooses a barren woman. And here's her story. Huh? Every year, she would go to the temple and pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a baby. Pero ayaw siya bigyan ni Lord ng baby. Parang close pa rin yung womb niya. Kahit anong gawin nila ni Elkanah, walang mangyari. Pumunta nila siya sa doctor, nag-test na sila, in-inject na siya, kung ano mang ginagawa, no? Nag-Yakult, lahat ginawa. Nagpa-lactobacillus shirota strain, wala pa rin nangyari sa strain niya. It couldn't produce a baby. And here's the story, and let's pick up from that story. So Hannah ate, then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. Here's a picture of a woman who's desperate. She's been praying every year and there was no answer. And she comes to God and she's crying and crying in other versions. She was travailing. Ano ibig sabihin ng travailing? Lord! Ganon. Yung parang lasing ka na. That's travailing. Right? It was seeking. It wasn't. You know, sometimes when we pray, it's funny. Okay? Maraming kinds of prayer. Eh. Yung mga ibang kaibigan ko na very theological, pag nagpe-pray sila, hindi sila nagpe-pray. Nagme-memorize ng theological statement. Father, you are omnipresent and omniscient. You are King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Diba? Hindi prayer yon. Okay? Theological statements yon. Alright? Si Hannah prayed. Hannah knew how to pray. She was crying out to the Lord, Lord! Lord, I need you! Lord, I'm desperate for you! She prayed like that. She came to God seeking divine supernatural intervention. When was the last time you ever prayed a prayer like that? Minsan, laki na ng problema. Sobrang formal ka pa mag-pray, no? Oh, Lord. Oh, King of Kings. Mamamatay na ako. Madrama ka pa, no? Sumigaw ka na. Kailangan mo na si Lord. You cry out to the Lord. When my son was sick, I had to cry out to the Lord. I had to cry to the Lord. Nawala lahat ng tinuro sa akin sa theology class na ganito dapat mag-pray, tapos dapat folded na ganon, tapos dapat may tears. No. Wala. Hindi mo na iniisip yun. You come to God and she could not even be consoled. Ibig sabihin ka, wag ganon. Wala. Ganon siya mag-pray. Talagang desperate siya for God. And here's her prayer. She said, oh God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline. Sabi ni Hannah, Lord, hindi ako mabuntis-buntis, Lord. Bigyan mo ako ng anak, bibigay ko sa iyo, Lord. I'll offer him up to you, Lord, and I would do whatever it takes so that he would live a life of holy discipline. Ang ganda ng prayer ni Hannah eh. Kasi si Hannah nung nag-pray, hindi siya child-centered. Yung iba ganun eh. Walang anak, Lord, pahingin ng anak. Lord, please, Lord. Nung binigyan ng anak, nakalimutan na si Lord. Wala na sa church. Tawag doon na child-centered na. Hindi na Christ-centered ang pamilya, child-centered na. So lahat nasa anak niya, binuhos niya lahat sa anak niya. Diba? Lahat nasa anak niya. Kaya nagtatampo pagka hindi na siya kailangan ng anak niya. Kasi nakadikit na siya doon sa anak niya dahil identity niya na sa anak niya. Maraming magulang ganon. And I'm tempted to be like that. It means God has given me a child and it's a blessing. It's not a God. It's a gift. It's not an idol in my life. And Hannah was cleared. And Hannah said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll raise him in a life of holy discipline. And that was the prayer of Hannah. It was a pure heart that she prayed before the Lord and said, God, pag binigyan mo ng anak, Lord, I'll prepare him to live out God's call for his life. Hannah was barren. She wants a child and she goes to the Lord and asks for a child. Saan tayo tumatakbo pag may kailangan tayo? Paano tayo tumakbo? Desperate ba o takbong mayaman? Minsan takbong mayaman ka pa eh. Wala na nga eh. Kailangan mo na tumakbo kay Lord. Hingin na natin to kay Lord. It so happened that as she continued in prayer before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart, silently. Napagod na, no? Sakakasigaw. Sakakayak. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Siguro wala nang boses si Hannah dito, no? Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, you're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman. Right. Hannah said, oh no, sir, please. I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here for so long. Now, why was Hannah saying that? Because during that time, to be barren is to be cursed. Pag ikaw, wala kang anak, curse ka raw, may ginawa ka kasi. So, pinagchichismisan si Hannah noon. Ako, yan si Hannah, oh. Di magka-baby, no? Siguro, anong kasalanan niya? Siguro, dahil bumibili ng pirated DVD yan. No, mga ganon. Pinagchichismisan niya. Pero, dahil curse ka, ayaw ka rin, ayaw kang, ano, ma-associate. You don't want to be associated with a cursed woman. Because the hand of God is not on her, people don't want to be associated with her. Di ba? Hindi mo pwede sabihin, Hana, selfie tayo. Hindi pwede. Okay? Madi-dislike ka. I-unfollow ka. Bakit? Curse yan eh. Ba't ka dumikit? Nakipag-picture ka pa. She was cursed and that's why she was praying to the Lord. Lord, I'm not cursed. Lord, give me a child. I worship you. I even give you the child. But Lord, please. Lord, I declare I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. Give me this child. She was in such pain. Ang hirap nun. Pinagdadaanan niya dati. Ngayon, di na masyado ganun, no? Pero nung panahon niya, parang, uy, ano ba yan? Curse yan. Ganun. Every day. Kahit alam niyang hindi naman. That's why she was asking for the child. She was asking God for a miracle. Lord, turn this curse into a blessing. You know, sometimes you look at the next generation. One of the things that I've been praying for now is I've been watching documentaries about human trafficking. We have some church members who are involved also in the fight against human trafficking. And just to watch documentaries, I think I've watched 4 or 5 documentaries already. You know how the world generally looks at the next generation? They see the next generation as a curse. Ibig sabihin ng anak, kaya may anak ako para kikita yan for me. Gagamitin ko. Object ang tingin sa tao, sa mga bata. You know, 2 million kids are killed worldwide. Paglabas sa sila, pinapatay agad. 2 million. Imagine, 2 million worldwide are being killed. No? In other countries, pag babae, pinapatay agad. No? Parang ano lang, parang kalabaw lang. Pag lalaki, pinapatay. Ito, pag babae, pinapatay agad. Diba? And most are used in sexual trafficking. There are towns wherein the dads would watch TV and buy the latest TV and gadgets. And it's their kids working, 6-year-old working as a prostitute. In other towns, it's actually the majority and not the minority. Imagine that, no? And even in developed countries, no? You see a lot of celebrities today. They're actually manipulated. Why? It's all about economy. If I could use this girl to undress, I'll make money out of her. Yeah? And shoot it and make it into a movie. Right? And we look at the next generation not as a blessing but as a curse. Diba? Minsan yung language natin, pabigat mga anak ko. That's curse. Right? That's saying, you know, you're not a blessing, you're a curse. But the Bible tells us otherwise. Hannah knew that. Hannah was saying, turn this curse into a blessing. Anong weapon ni Hannah? The only weapon that she knows was prayer. You see, prayer is a powerful tool God has given us. There was hunger and thirst for prayer. And when Hannah was blessed by Eli, alam niya eh, sabi ni Hannah, Lord, ito lang kaya ko, Lord. Hindi na kaya ito ng medicine. Sa'yo na ako tatakbo. Lord, turn this curse into a blessing. What happened next? Eli answered her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him. Nung sinabi to ni Eli, sobrang natuwa si Hannah. Think well of me and pray for me, she said, and went her way. Then she ate heartily, her face radiant. She was holding on to the word of the man of God and says, sabi ni Eli, bless ako ni Lord. And she received that as an answer from the Lord. And she went her way. She was excited. She was in faith that God was birthing something in her, that the curse would stop and it would be turned into a blessing. So she ate heartily. And it says here, up before dawn, they worshiped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Okay, can you repeat these words? Necessary arrangements. When you start to pray, okay, when you start to pray, whether it's praying for the next generation, praying for a problem, praying for healing, God is already in the supernatural making necessary adjustments. Right? That's how powerful prayer is. That's why we ask you to go to our prayer meetings. Hindi yan yung may sakit ako, hindi ako mag-prayer meeting. Lalo ka mag-prayer meeting. Busy ako, hindi ko kaya mag-prayer meeting. Lalo ka mag-prayer meeting. Bakit? Kasi hindi na on flesh mo eh. Straight from the Lord na yan. You know, we're seeing a vision of hundreds of people coming to our prayer meetings every night. We want to fill this place with people who are expectant that God is making the necessary adjustments so that our prayers would be answered by the Lord. Ganon si Hannah eh. I come desperate before you. I travail. I intercede. I cry out because I know God is going to make necessary adjustments to make it happen. God will do arrangements. And in verse 20, it says, and in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Sabi sa Bible, in due time. Sa timing ni Lord, nabuntis si Hannah at nagkaroon ng anak. It now worked without any supplements or medicine. God supernaturally did something. Right? Because God was about to raise Samuel, and next week we'll learn more about that. But God was using Hannah to prepare Samuel now, and in due time, it's going to happen. Let me tell you the story of our campus ministry in University of Makati. Prior to my youth days, there was this pastor by the name of Pastor Bong Kalingo. Si Bong Kalingo now is our missionary in Spain. And I remember when I was still young, Bong Kalingo and a bunch of his prayer teams from Victory Makati would go to University of Makati and do prayer walks. Prayer walk means they just go around the campus and they pray, right? We did that when we planted the church here in Green Hills. Wala pa tong building, wala pang facility, wala pa tayong church service. We had a group of 20 people who would go around every week and pray in VMall. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a space in this mall. Lord, that we would reach, Lord, the rich and the poor in Green Hills. Lord, that this church would be... And we would pray every week. And then we had a member who had a... Nasa penthouse siya ng isang condo, no? So kitang-kita namin yung buong Green Hills. Nilalehan sa amin, Lord. Tapos titingin ako sa North Green Hills, Lord, yung bahay ko nandiyan, Lord. So we would start to pray. Alright, we would start to pray in the spirit and say, God, you're going to do something, Lord, with our church. And they did that. Bong Kalingo and his team would start praying, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the University of Makati will open, that the Holy Spirit would visit the classrooms, Lord, the teachers and the administrators, Lord, the Spirit of God would move and there would be revival in this campus. Year after year, they would pray. You know what we would do every year? We would start an outreach event. Do everything in our own power, coupled with prayer. We invited celebrities like Princess Punsalan, all right? Grabe nung panahon pa namin, no. Ayun, lahat dinala na namin. Pati ako pumunta na ako doon. Kumanta na ako, no. And every time there would be an event, you know what? Hundreds would come. 300, 400 will fill the auditorium. And they will announce, next week, we're coming back with more. And then, from 400, magiging 300. Then the next week, 200. Then 100. Then 50. Then 20. Then no more. Hindi tumatagal ng 3 months. Mamamatay. So every time it would die down, we go back in prayer. God, we pray. We pray. Graduate na si Pastor Bong at naging missionary. Napasa ngayon sa generation namin. Si Pastor Miko Tanko. Saka ako. We would go to University of Makati and we'll pray the same prayers. Lord, open up the campus, Lord. Lord, we want to see thousands upon thousands of disciples in the University of Makati, Lord. It's no accident, it's here. Lord, we want to invest in the next generation. So we would pray and pray. Pray and pray and nothing will happen. 2007, 2006, something happened. One of our businessmen who attends the fort had a common friend who was the dean now of the College of Business Administration in University of Makati. So, we got connected with them, shared live box to them. 2007, we planted the church here in Green Hills. So, I left the campus ministry. And it was, at that time, there were two campus missionaries. Pastor Robert Gonzalez, who was a former NBA player, okay? And Keith Deloria, who was here earlier. You know? And they would go there. And I remember, we telling Keith, Keith, you know, this is a long history of campus failure. If there's a poster child for campus ministry failure, University of Makati. Yeah, okay? During our time, okay? But here's what we want you to do, Keith. 3 times a week, go there. Be there. Talk to the students. You know, be there for 5-6 hours. If it means you talk to the plants, talk to the plants. Just be there. We had 2 campus missionaries, 2006. And because we had a connection with the dean, he started opening up the College of Business. We started having events again. Nung nag-events kami, ito na naman tayo, events na naman tayo. Lord, sana naman di na mamatay ito. And from those events, we started attracting 200, 300 college students. But something miraculous happened this time. It didn't die down. It didn't sustain. It started growing bigger. It became big and big. And now we were filling up the main hall of the University of Makati. And we started having victory groups everywhere, sa canteen, sa labas. And they started giving us classrooms. No? Meron once a week wherein we were told to talk to the students. What's the topic? Anything. So we started preaching the gospel to the students. And we started getting there. And we started seeing changed lives. We started seeing mga drug addicts getting saved. Homosexuals getting saved. And it's just powerful. Right? The move of God. Wala na ako nun, ha? Sabi ko, parang inantay lang ni Lord na mawala ako. No? So, dito na ako nun. Okay, nagkakalat na ako dito. So, tos, blessed ni Lord yun, no? Grabe, amazing. Now, it was so filled up every week that we couldn't hold services inside the University of Makati. You know what the next step was? We started a Saturday service at Victory Fort. From 10 people in UMAC, we now have 1,000 plus people every Saturday who attends worship service in our church at Victory Fort. Let's give God a big hand for that. In due time, in God's time, but what must we do? 2 things, very clear. Prayer. Hannah prayed. Second, we'll talk about the second one. He did. Okay? Ano ginawa ni Hannah next? But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Say, wean. Hindi ko alam yung word na wean, no? Nalaman ko na lang yon after our first child. I never encountered the word weaning. Okay? Kasi yung weaning pala, ibig sabihin niyan, pag nagbe-breastfeed yung misis mo or nagagatas, magsosolid na yung anak mo, iwi-wean mo na. Okay? So doon ko lang nalaman yung word na weaning. Ibig sabihin, yung role ng magulang, no, na i-wean, okay, ang anak niya. Okay? Tapos after niyan, papasa niya na. So there is a window where as parents, we need to sharpen and wean and train up the child in the way he should go so that when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Hannah did that. She started weaning the child, and what happened? And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with the three-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was what? Was still young. And they went to church. And Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Dalawang season ng magulang or ng older generation that will be accountable to the Lord when He asks about the next generation. What's that? Okay. It's what we call the season of weaning and the season of releasing. Okay. Pagka sinasharpen mo o wini-win mo yung anak mo o train-train mo, ibig sabihin, you do whatever it takes. Yun yung sabi ni Hannah, that he would live a life of holy discipline. I will try to put everything in my child's heart so that he would grow up to love the Lord, hear the Lord, and obey the Lord. If it means surrounding him with the right people, if it means not exposing him to the dark influences of our society, I will do that up to the extent that I can. I'm weaning him. I'm sharpening him. Because one day, I'm going to release him. And that's reality. Okay. Sabi sa Psalms 127, verse 4 to 5, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Right? Ano sabi sa scripture? Ang magulang daw parang warrior. Okay? Have you seen a warrior? Hindi si ultimate warrior. Patay na yan. Okay? But a warrior, an archer. Have you seen an archer? Okay. Sino mga tagalasal dito? Good choice. Okay. Scripture tells us, children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. I've got three arrows now. My goal as a warrior is that when they're not yet ready, anong ginagawa before war? You sharpen. You sharpen the arrow. Bakit? Gusto mo pagka tumagos, duguan talaga, no? You sharpen it. You're preparing that person for battle. Why? Because you know one day, I will release my child into the world. Yeah. When I was teaching my eldest how to swim, eh, biglang natuto mag-float. So, nung nag-float siya, sabi niya, look, daddy, I don't need you. Parang first time ko narinig yung, daddy, I don't need you. Parang, sabi ko, parang sa loob-loob, wala kang utang na loob. Ako nagturo sa'yo mag-float. Tapos, I don't need you. Di ba? Ha? Swimming pa lang yun, no? Sipin mo next time. Pag kailangan mo nang i-release. Sabi as parents, we sharpen and then we release. Problema minsan sa magulang, ganito mag-release. Hawak-hawak mo. Di ba? 30 na, hawak-hawak mo pa rin, di ba? Ayaw ma-let go. It looks crazy, right? You go to battle, oh, patay ka, di ba? Hindi mo marirelease yan. Bakit? Nakahawak ka eh. You have to let go. And what would give you the confidence to let go when you know you've sharpened? But if you haven't sharpened, it's so hard. Hindi ka pa ready, anak. Cute-cute mo. Di ba? Dito ka lang sa akin, di ba? Yeah. Dapat nire-release mo sa target. Hindi sa target na gusto mo, sa target na gusto ni Lord para sa buhay niya. To preparing the next generation. Yeah. Sipin mo dito sa church, no? Yung susunod nating pastor, baka nandoon sa kids' church. Sinasharpen. Bakit? One day kasi, wala na rin ako dito. Somebody will be the one who lead this church. And are they sharpened? Right? Even your own kids. One day, ma, pwedeng hindi ka na sumama sa lakad namin. Nako! Yeah. Ma, may crush na ako eh. Papapahingi pera, magpapakasal na ako. Ganun, no? Mga ganong hirit. Parang, hirap nun, no? Ano ba, nakahawa ka ba o ready ka i-release yan? You need to learn how to release, and you can only release if you sharpen. Parents have a hard time releasing because they haven't sharpened. So whose responsibility is it to prepare the next generation? Tanong sa bahay, have you created that atmosphere? That I would sharpen my kids so that they would be released into the world. This week, we started going back and teaching our kids how to worship, how to pray. And so this week, I asked my two daughters, 8 and 6, Ayana, Mika, let's just worship the Lord. And we got our YouTube, and we type in a song with lyrics, and we started worshiping. We started worshiping. We were teaching them how to worship. Why? One day, Daddy won't be here. Who will you run to? You go to your Heavenly Father and learn how to worship on your own. But now that we're together, we'll worship as a family, and we worship. And I told them, Ayana, Mika, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, yes, we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, do you want to speak in tongues? And I said, they said, yeah, we want to speak in tongues. We learned that from kids' church. Pastor Bojo told us how to speak in tongues, but I cannot. So I said, you want Daddy to pray for you to speak in tongues? Yeah. Okay, we'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And we started baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. And we started training them to hear from the Lord. Yeah. And my daughter, after the next night, came out. While I was doing something, said, Dad, I'm speaking in tongues. You know, she was so happy to be able to be activated with the spiritual gifts. And every time there's someone who's sick, we'll ask them, we'll pray for the sick person. And if they're there, Aliana, come here, pray with Daddy. Let's pray for healing. This person has cancer, this person is this. Let's pray right now for healing. Lay hands. And we'll lay hands. Why? We're teaching them. We're creating that atmosphere. Yan ang spiritual leadership. Diba? And it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard as a father. Why? You're busy. You're tired. You go home, you're tired. But when will we sharpen them? When they're old? Pag sinarpin mo na yan, papalag na yan. Di ba? Ano ba? Nakikialam ka. Nung bata, hindi ka naman nakikialam. Di ba? Babalikan ka niyan. Di ba? Parang, kaya dapat ngayon pa lang, tinuturuan mo na. Sinasharpen mo na yan. And it's never too late. You just have to create that atmosphere. You know, as long as they live in your house, they follow your rules. So you create that atmosphere of faith that they're going to be released one day. And that's why I'm sharpening you now. You have to release them. You know, they made a study. There was this guy who studies church growth movement. So he went around, studied mega churches in the world. And then he was talking with Pastor Steve, our president. And he says, growing churches that make it to 25 years usually start shrinking because the leadership is too old. And that's the study. After 25 years, a church of thousands of people start dying and shrinking. And he told Pastor Steve this, sabi niya, but you know what, guys? You mess up my study, my research, and my findings. Because in Victory, after 25 years, you actually doubled, tripled. And he says, here's the reason why. Okay? Because we keep transferring leadership to the next generation. Ibig sabihin, you see more younger pastors in our movement being released. They're not being kept, they're released. I was released when I was 27 to plant a church. Di ba? Pag-isipin mo, di ba? Katakot yun. Inisip ko ngayon, natakot tuloy ako. No? 27 ako nung nirelease ako. We're releasing pastors now, whether from the province or in Metro Manila, to become lead pastors of thousands of people. And we know we'll make mistakes. But then they're sharpening and releasing and sharpening and releasing. If we want to survive time, we must pray for the next generation and we must prepare the next generation. Why? Because we'll release the next generation. Ang tanong, are we calling forth the next generation's destiny? Are we preparing the way for them? Verse 25, then they slaughtered the bull and they brought the child to Eli. Right? After winning, they worshiped and they brought the child to Eli. There's a divine partnership between families and churches. Right? Why are the next generation being released? because there's divine partnership that happens. I shared this last week. My parents were wise enough to connect us with the pastors in the church to disciple us. It's anchor discipleship. They were wise enough to partner with the church and say, can you also help me because I'm not the know-it-all dad and mom. Can I bring them to the youth group? Can they attend prayer meetings? Can they get involved? Can you pray for them? Can they be baptized in the Spirit? Can they do great works? Can you please help me release them to their God-given destiny and calling? My parents partnered with this man, Pastor Ferdy, who's our senior pastor in Ortigas. I was grade 6 when they told me, you know, this man would disciple you. And I was discipled by Pastor Ferdy. Pastor Ferdy discipled a lot of young people. Nobody wanted to disciple us. Why? We're kids. We're noisy. We're messy. We don't listen. We're ADD. You know? So nobody wanted us. But I thank God there was a youth pastor who decided to spend time with me. Once a week, go to our house, spend 2 hours in our house before dinner, would go back home. Somebody invested. Pastor Ferdy did not just invest in me, invested in this man. Mark Constantino is the senior pastor in Victory Metro East. Pastor Mark now is a senior pastor of 7,000 people in Metro East, and they're planning to plant a church in Antipolo. Dahil sobrang puno na nila, wala nang lugar sa Metro East. Sabi ko nga sa kanya, palipat mo dito. Pwede pa sa 9 and 11, saka sa 2. Imagine, he was this hotshot UST varsity player. And Pastor Ferdy reached out to Pastor Mark. Not only Pastor Mark, he reached out to this guy, Pastor Rico, who was the youth pastor of TAMI. Right? Pastor Rico now heads up our church in Victory Ortigas with also 7,000 people. Imagine mo, no? Nung bata pa sila, si Pastor Rico sa UAP pa yan, University of Asia and Pacific. Pastor Ferdy would go there and just spend time with this one man whom you'll never know would influence thousands of people today. Yeah. Pastor Ferdy was actually my ninong. Si Rico, kwento lang, no? Side kwento. Si Rico, nag-outreach sila sa Cagayan de Oro, nakilala nila si Tammy. No? Nakonect si Rico kay Tammy. Tapos, dito nag-college si Tammy under Pastor Rico. Tapos dahil doon, one time, youth service, nakita ko ni Tammy and the rest is history. No? So, ang galing ng connection eh, di ba? Parang, dahil kay Pastor Ferdy, nakita ko yung misis ko, no? Tapos dinisciple ako ni Pastor Ferdy. Si Pastor Ferdy, dinisciple si Rico, pinastor si Tammy. Yeah. So ngayon, pinapastor ako ni Tammy. Dahil ako lang. Okay, ngayon, mag-asawa na kami ni Tammy. Di ba? It's because discipleship works. Yeah? That's how God connects everyone. He's actually my ninong in my wedding. And I look up to him as my second father. I would always say that to him. You know, if I would write a book about my manhood journey, Pastor Ferdy would fill those pages because of how he has imparted to me. There was a divine partnership between the church and the family. Yeah. You know, surround your kids, the next generation, with godly men and women. Okay? Kwento lang din, no? Nakita nyo to? 2010 peso bill natin. This was actually designed by BG Hernandez, who goes to Victory Alabang. Siya ang nag-design ng 20 peso, 50 peso, saka 1,000 peso bill natin. You know, his design was selected because of two features. Number one, the verse. Yeah? Pinagpapala ang ano, ang perang ganyan, or something, no? God blesses a nation, di ba? Who is righteous, something like that, alright? May Bible verse ang peso bill natin ngayon. And the second feature why it was approved, you know why? Notice something? Huh? From the old one and the new one? You notice something? Yung iba naglalabasa ng pera. Okay. Actually, kitang-kita. Yung mukha ng mga presidente dyan, nung nasa 20s or 30s sila. Pinabata. Kasi, ang problema daw ng nation natin ngayon, ang idolo lahat nasa arts. Yeah. Kailangan artista bago bago bayani. Nawala na raw yung nationalistic spirit natin. Yeah. Now, hindi naman masama yung artistic spirit, pero nawala na rin yung nationalistic. Kaya pag tinanong mo ngayon, sino yung mga ano mo, di ba? Who do you want to be when you grow up? Di ba? Anong mga sagot, di ba? Yeah. Jesse J, something, di ba? Mga Justin Bieber, kung sikat pa ba yun, di ba? Or whatever. Di ba? Rebecca Black. So, ganun na yung sagot natin, di ba? And nakakalungkot kasi wala nang makita eh. Walang umaangat. Or kung may umaangat, hindi na feature. So, kaya nila in-approve to. Why? We have to go back to our nation's history. Our history was fought for by young people. We have our freedom now because of the courage of young people. San Juan is where it is today because of the courage of Andres Bonifacio with a knife in his hand being shot by the Spaniards. Imagine. So young people who made a difference. Are we preparing the next generation? Ang ganda ng tanong ni Pastor Steve sa amin, if God chooses to lead His people with the next generation, will you follow? Will you follow? Why? Leadership will be transferred to the next generation. Will we follow? It's a hard thing to swallow, especially for the older people. Even for me. Will I follow if there's a younger guy that comes here and God calls him to pastor this church? Will I support him all the way? I was having lunch with Chinky and Novi, Chinky Tan. And may portion lang na biglang naging cheesy si Chinky. Sabi ni Chinky, Dennis, I just want to appreciate you for the friendship. Yeah. Siko, Chinky, may nangyari ba? Ganyan. No? And he was telling me how, you know, how he's honored and blessed to be friends with me and just all those things he said. I won't say it na baka I might cry. No? But you know what? What I told Chinky, a cheesy moment din ako. Say ko, Chinky, I don't know if this church will stand when in the first year you came to me and said, you know what, I will submit under your leadership. I was 27 and he was Chinky Tan. It was hard, you know. But he came there and he said, you're my pastor. I'll submit to you. I'll protect you. If somebody said something bad about you, I'll be their worst enemy. And it's because of that man, in a way, I've survived the first few years of pastoral ministry because somebody was there who stood with me from the older generation who prepared, really, grabe natutunan ko kay Chinky yung leadership lessons because he was there. Kundi nasira na ata ulo ko nung wala siya. He guided me in so many ways, made me more mature. Verse 26, Hannah said, excuse me, sir. Would you believe that I'm the very woman who was standing before you at this very spot praying to God? I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. Then and there, they worship God. Are you willing to dedicate the next generation to the Lord? You look at your sons and your daughters. Your literal sons and daughters. Are you willing? Are you preparing them? Because you know one day you'll release them. Ready ka ba? Ginagawa mo ba ang lahat para ma-prepare sila to become the godly men and women and influencers of our nation? Please don't just parent them to be good boys and girls. Parent them to be winners, champions, and influencers in our nation whose God is the Lord and who will worship the Lord and who would have the integrity of heart. Can we just bow down our heads and pray? Can I ask the parents to please stand? I want to pray for you right now. If you're a parent, Lord, you see, as parents, we are the Hannah generation. Lord, we are the parents, Lord, who are called to prepare the next generation. Lord, we are called. Lord, you've given us sons and daughters to sharpen them, to prepare them, to make them Christ-like. Lord, to give them godly convictions and a healthy fear of God. So I pray right now for every parent in this room. Give us the anointing to parent our kids to lead our kids, to pastor our kids, to shepherd them and lead them in the path of righteousness. Lord, not in the path of our dreams that we want them to fulfill, but Lord, in the dreams and the calling that you have for their life. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive with the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, when the Spirit tells us to get out of the way and just lead and guide them, Lord, we would do so. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that give us, Lord, alam namin mahirap maging magulang, but Lord, give us the grace to do so, Lord, to parent them into Christ-likeness, to lead them, to guide them, Lord, to impart to them whatever we have. Lord, that we would not exasperate our children, Lord, but we would bless them. Lord, we would not curse them, but Lord, words of life would flow out of our mouth so that they would be called, Lord, to their God-given destiny. Lord, and that they would choose the path of righteousness, that they worship the Lord with all their hearts because they've been prepared. So I pray, Lord, for each and everyone here today, Lord, please, God, come, help us to be the parents who would prepare our kids to prepare the next generation. And even as a church, Lord, as representatives of the older generation, God, we pray that we would support next generation leaders who would rise up from our church, that we won't see them as sideline, Lord, that we won't see them just as a campus ministry that's another department of the church, but we would see them, Lord, as our crown jewel, our inheritance, a gift from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. So use us, Lord, to be an influence to the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you take your seat? I want to pray right now. If you're 20 and under, 25 na lang and under, right, can you just please stand? All right. If you're from the next generation, right, you know, look around you. We're a young church. Okay? And God has called us to reach the next generation. Can you just lift up your hands? I want to pray for you right now. I just believe God wants to pour out His Spirit on you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these young people. I pray, Lord, that they won't be just in the sideline. Lord, that they won't be, Lord, they won't be so consumed with trivial things and games and social networks that they forget, Lord, to focus on the bigger picture of God's calling for their life. So I pray, Lord, for every young person in this room, Lord, that we would be, Lord, a catalyst of change. Lord, that we would be the light, Lord, in our dark place, in our campuses, in our workplace, Lord, that you would use us. Lord, that they would know what the definition of true Christian is. Lord, that we will be followers of Christ. Lord, that we would embrace what is right and hate what is wrong. Lord, that we would stand with godly conviction. Lord, that we would seek first God and we would seek the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, for every young person in this room, activate even the gifts that you have given them, Lord, to be an influence wherever you place them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.